Hello and welcome to episode 8 of the Let's Talk Dairy podcast, featuring enlightening interviews with experts across the dairy processing industry. I'm Anna Blasso, managing editor of Dairy Foods Magazine. Today we're joined by Krista Harden, the new-ish president and CEO of the U.S. Dairy Export Council. Krista, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Anna. I'm delighted to be with you. Looking forward to our conversation.
So prior to serving as president and CEO of USDEC, you were the organization's chief operating officer, and you've also had a number of other positions across the industry, including as executive vice president of global environmental strategy for DMI, and also as chief sustainability officer with Corteva and with DuPont. So can you tell me about how your past roles in the industry prepared you for this current post?
Well, thanks, Anna. I feel like I've been kind of training for this job my whole career. I grew up on a farm, not a dairy farm, but a farm in Southwest Georgia, a peanut farm. I've worked on Capitol Hill. I have lobbied for a number of ag organizations and food groups. Also have been in the executive branch of government and led a small organization working on conservation and stewardship issues. And then, as you mentioned, I've also worked on the corporate side as well, working for DuPont and then Corteva, joining dairy just a few years ago. But so I feel like every step is now has kind of helped me prepare for this position, and I'm extremely excited about it.
Yeah, that's like hitting every angle of the industry that you might need for USDEC, really.
Exactly right.
So what is your overall vision for the organization now that you are president and CEO?
Well, you know, it's great to walk in behind Secretary Vilsack. He did such a great job. And Tom Suber before that, in the last 25, almost 26 years of USDEC's history. So I'm not walking into a program that's broken. I'm walking into a very successful organization with a strong commitment to growing dairy exports for our members and for dairy farmers. So I just want to take that to the next level, to walk through a lot of these doors that my predecessors have opened, to expand our footprint into new markets with new products. So I'm just very excited about where we're starting. We're off to a good start this year after a record year last year. So it's just continuing to expand the opportunity for our member companies and for their former suppliers.
Yeah, so you mentioned that you're entering in at a good moment. So like, we've seen that U.S. dairy exports have had a lot of success recently, and the volume exports crossing reached an all-time high of more than 2 million metric tons last year. So can you tell me a little bit more about this and kind of the factors behind all of this growth?
You know, last year was such a year of uncertainty, I think, for everyone, and certainly in agriculture. We didn't know what we were dealing with and what to expect as we went into the COVID situation around the globe, not knowing, you know, as eating habits change, getting food, way folks have been eating out. Now they're cooking at home more, retail, food service, everything kind of up in the air. What was that going to mean for us? The main thing that we knew is that we had to be aggressive. We know that folks still needed food and wanted our great, healthy, nutritious products. We had to figure out how to get them to them and in different forms at times. So I think what we saw from our industry, in my mind, is that we're nimble, that we reacted very positively to those changes, that we recognized what was happening in the marketplace. We created products that customers and consumers needed, and we were able to really compete on a world market. We also, you know, saw that our plans over the last past several years really paid off in diversifying our footprint. We were not just in kind of our traditional markets, but had made investments in expanding our footprint, our presence in markets. And really hats off to many of our member companies who had that vision, worked within our industry to make sure that we were really looking more globally, more diversification, not only marketplace, but our products. So, you know, we met the challenge. The U.S. dairy industry really, really did meet that challenge.
Yeah, I have to say, in the conversations I've had with dairy executives this year, just the amount of flexibility and adaptation that happened across the industry is really impressive. And the way that companies were able to quickly like think on their feet to adapt to the moment just has stuck out to me personally.
Well, there were certainly challenges in the channel. There's no doubt about it. But it is about being nimble. It's about seeing what is in the marketplace and making those changes quickly. not in letting them really, you know, stymie us or set us back too far, but being aggressive, being assertive, and going after these key markets. So hats off to our member companies. I think they were nimble, they were flexible, and it shows in export numbers.
So looking to the future, what kind of steps do you think that U.S. Deck and dairy companies can take to maintain this level of growth?
Well, I think we have to learn from what we went through last year and recognize that, again, that diversification of footprint, of where we're doing business, making those investments to keep in front of a variety of different potential markets and importers who like our products, you know, building relationships, keeping those partnerships strong in spite of COVID when there's not a lot of, you know, face-to-face meetings and trade shows. We still have to maintain those relationships, keeping the flexibility, being nimble, and making sure that we really are looking outward. We're thinking of down the road, being prepared for down the road, looking at building new partnerships in many cases. When I look at our numbers for June, which is the latest numbers I have today, is where as we're having this conversation, you know, there's some surprises like our cheese numbers in South America. So that just shows me, and I think all of our members, that investments have to be made continually. We keep building relationship. It's going to pay off if we make those kinds of investments.
So are there any kind of, you're speaking about like emerging markets. Is there anything specific that you're looking at right now?
You know, we made, the industry made a really strong investment in Singapore with the bricks and mortar and office. We call it the Center for Dairy Excellence. Unfortunately, it opened right at the beginning of COVID, so I haven't even been there myself, but our members are excited about taking advantage of really that stake in the ground, that commitment to Southeast Asia, saying, hey, we're here. U.S. Dairy is serious about this market. We're serious about growing this market, and really working through many of those countries who also, you know, produce dairy, but not enough dairy. They're dairy deficient, so they're looking for partners, they're looking for other suppliers, and we're saying, hey, the U.S. really wants to be that partner with you. So I'm excited about that commitment, those kind of visible investments that the industry is making in some key areas.
So we've spoken a lot about kind of this being a positive moment for dairy exports, but are there any like roadblocks you're seeing right now to future growth or anything that you're watching in that way?
Well, you know, there always are, right? You know, that's the other half of the story, is being realistic about some of the issues that we need to wrestle with as an industry and face head on. Some are just obvious. We have competition in the marketplace. There are other producers of fine dairy products that are not just going to back away and let us take their market share. So we have to be competitive and have to be aware of that in key markets. There's also what I hope are short-term issues and concerns dealing with our ports. We hear about it across agriculture, across all industries, about congestion in the channels. Sometimes it's cheaper and more effective for tankers to turn around and leave the U.S. empty instead of waiting to be reloaded with an agriculture product or another product.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's really concerning. So we're being very aggressive, very assertive in working with the ports authorities across the country. We're talking with all aspects of the industry. We're talking with Congress, with the administration about ways to alleviate the backlogs and the problems to keep the channels going. Nothing is worse from some of our member companies to say, we have contracts, we have folks really wanting our product, we need to fill them, and we can't get them loaded on a tanker to get across the ocean to them. Those kind of issues, I hope, are short term. We certainly want to be aggressive in solving them. We've had other kind of hiccups. We had a certification issue in the EU that we've had to work through recently. I think we have satisfactory resolution there. So we're working behind the scenes with folks to get that done. Also working with the U.S. government to make sure we can handle those problems. And there are other minor ones. Hopefully we'll stay minor in different countries around the world. There's always a little bit of tension there. Sometimes they're geopolitical. You have a change in administration or philosophy in a country. So they change their tariffs or their specs or their certification processes. So we're constantly working to make sure that our members have the latest information, have all the tools they need to either stay in a market or get into a new market.
So you've spoken about how US Tech is working to address some of these roadblocks. So I'm just curious, like, what else is in the pipeline for the organization right now? Like, what's coming up?
Well, again, we're very excited about hopefully recovery beyond COVID. So markets where we have not been able to get into as aggressively as we would like. We hope that the tide is turning around the globe. It is a bit slower in some places and key markets, so that we look forward to being able to be more aggressive, more assertive in some of these markets, and also new products. We really are listening to customers on the ground about what kind of new products their customers, their consumers, are excited about and what they want. It could be a different packaging, it could be a different product, it could be a different use of dairy, you know, very important high protein, high value ingredients that are going into more and more products, whether it's sports drinks or health bars or infant formula or foods for the aging. So we're looking at those kind of opportunities too, about what's new, what do consumers want, where's their focus going to be? We know they want healthy, nutritious products. That's for certain. More and more realizing that dairy can play a big role in that in a number of forms. So making sure we're listening to customers and giving them what they want and need to meet their own culture and their own consumer needs.
Well, Krista, it has been very lovely to talk to you and really interesting to hear about what's happening in the export world right now. Seems like a lot of really positive stuff. So thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, I appreciate so much, Anna, the time. And just, you know, remind everyone that the world needs U.S. dairy and U.S. dairy needs the world.